So how likely do you think it is that the world will become completely cashless one day?
I put this in the same sort of realm as the office will go completely paperless one day, which was probably from about that era that, you know, at some point we would not have to have paper in the office, and that's far from the truth. I think it'll be a long time before we see no cash in the economy, no sort of hard currency in the economy at all. Certainly not in our lifetimes, I'd suggest.
Not in our lifetime.
No, that could, you know, putting it out there, but I don't think that would be the case.
Do you think we'll see the end of paper in our lifetime?
Depends if we run out of trees, but no, probably not either.
Well, David, with the prevalence of debit and credit card use, innovations like Apple Pay and Bitcoin, do you think there's still a place for hard currency?
Yeah, there certainly is. I mean, for one, you know, as you rightly pointed out, the use of debit and credit cards and easier transit and easier ways to pay for things using these cards over recent years. And one of the big things that's changed that is the ease when you go to merchants to be able to use a card and then walk away fairly quickly. And that's the tap and go type systems have changed that quite dramatically. Whereas I suppose before, where you had to put it in and key in a PIN, or you had to put it in and sign for it, you know, if you're paying for a very small item, people behind you in the queue are going to, you know, they're not going to be too happy about the fact that you're pulling a card where you could quite quickly pay in cash and get your change and leave.
That's very true. And also you have to remember all those PIN numbers.
Yeah. So
the tap and go has made it a lot quicker and easier, hasn't it?
It has. And especially for those smaller transactions where you would likely use cash. I mean, so there's obviously, I think it's above $100 where you still have to use a PIN. But those smaller transactions where previously you would tend to use cash, it is now quite easy to go up, pay for it, just tap and walk off if you don't necessarily want the receipt. Lots of merchants have brought those in. Some merchants, my local cafe is still cash only. So it just means that, you know, if I need my morning coffee, I do need to make sure that I've got enough cash on me when I go down to visit them.
That's unusual. Are there reasons, that organisation wants to say with cash? Are there benefits?
It may well be that they don't particularly want to pay for terminals and you know, the cost of getting some of those sort of, some of that infrastructure, although the costs of doing that have fallen away quite substantially. And, you know, I go down to our local markets and there are stall retailers there with the ability to pay with card, even at those situations. So I don't think, I don't think the cost is overly all that high. I mean, it could be in this increasingly sort of big brother world that by using cash, it makes those transactions a lot less transparent and you're able to, you know, keep things sort of off the books a little bit if you need to. Not saying, not pointing fingers at anyone.
No.
But to be able to do that means there's less of a trail of what's happened.
Right. And you talked about some of the benefits of a cashless economy. What are some of the drawbacks?
Well, I mean, fraud is, you know, those sort of issues start to become more of an instance. And Sweden, which is one of the leading proponents of a cashless economy, they only have, only 2% of their economy is represented by bills and coins, where if you look at in the US, it's about 7%.
Wow.
In the euro era, it's about 10%. So they have very much gone down that route. And they're seeing a huge surge in electronic fraud cases.
Right.
So they're now up to, according to the Sweden's Ministry of Justice, up to around about 140,000 a year electronic fraud cases, which is double that figure from 10 years ago. You are seeing the ability for people, you know, if you'd have to actually steal the cash from someone, but if, you know, identity theft and various other sort of fraud things that could occur, those are concerns that could exist.
Through online and phone apps. And
yeah, I mean, the other, this is nothing to do with fraud, but I mean, we've just come off the Christmas season, you know, it's people out sort of splurging a little bit on gifts and whatnot. From a behavioral point of view, when you have cash, you have a certain amount of cash in your wallet or in your
that's
purse, that's what you can spend. When you're paying on a tap, even more so when you're paying on tap and go, when you're paying, you know, you have to sign for it, there's a little bit of a slowdown. You see what you're signing for. When it's tap and go, you almost can be spending on things and not even really have a sense of what you've actually spent. And
yeah.
I you know, I haven't seen research on this. I'm sure there has been of, you know, is this causing people to maybe spend more than they, you know, necessarily expecting to?
Oh, I definitely think that applies to me. Because psychologically, if I had cash in my hand, you could sort of have a concrete view of what you're spending. But with a credit card.
Yeah, and you're right. And it feels more real. So, I mean, we're paid now not by cash, we're paid into our bank accounts, then we spend things on our cards, and then the money is taken out of our bank accounts and, you know, by the card companies and put back in by, you know, our employer. We never really see it as a real thing. It's just sort of numbers on a page.
Yes, it's the old adage that, you know, what you don't see, you don't miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might have just made that up.
No, but I mean that idea, you're not really aware of what's happening.
Okay, David. So to what extent are new businesses entering the marketplace, privileging these cashless options?
Look, I think to the extent that new businesses, and we're seeing startups in, I suppose, the e-space, so online, I mean, there's no way that you can use cash in an online setting. So if they're merchants that are selling to customers via the internet, then they have to be using some sort of electronic means of payment. But as I said, even some of my local stallholders down at our local markets, they have, you know, I've gone to pay for stuff and I've taken cash because I just assumed that you'd have to pay cash down there. And they will pull out card readers, which, you know, surprised me. But I think that's indicating that the cost of card readers, the cost of terminals, is actually dropping quite substantially. So for new entrants into sort of the markets, you know, into a market setting, it's not that costly to do that. So I think you'd see more and more people taking these on.
Oh, I could feel quite sad about it, you know, the end of cash. I've gone around the world and travelled a bit, and like every time I go to countries, I always pick up some funky notes and stick them on the wall.
But it is really frustrating. I've got a box at home of just notes of all these various countries, and you think, when am I ever going to use half of these again? And they end up, I should probably donate most of them. But
well, that's a good thing. And well, turning quickly to the state of Australia's share market, it recently plunged 2.5% off the back of doubts about China's economy. So what's been happening in China to stir these doubts?
Look, there is some concern. So the markets have just dropped again today. They're down 74. The All Ordinaries is down 74 points to just above 4,900, which, just to put that in context, in mid to late December, it was up around 5,350. You know, there has been quite a substantial drop over the last month. You know, we've seen oil prices going down heavily. We've seen iron ore prices going down. There's concerns over whether China's growth is slowing. Although recent export figures from China released yesterday seem to suggest that may be somewhat overblown. And there is, you know, there are different points of view on this. And I think that's something to bear in mind whenever you see any of these sort of things, is there are a lot of forecasts about what will happen in the future. And there was a really nice piece in the Fairfax papers yesterday by John McDulling, mm-hmm. looking at all these various forecasts that have been made about oil prices or iron ore prices that have been proven false time and time again. Realistically, look, we don't really know what the future holds with a lot of these things. And from our point of view, you know, from the sort of, you know, for people listening in, it's, I think, getting, you know, our own finances in order is probably a big one, especially New Year's resolutions, looking into your state of play, and not worrying too much about this at this point. I mean, certainly the market is down. There's concerns about China's growth. It is coming back a little bit. But I suppose we'll see in the fullness of time whether or not, or how much it has slowed down.